I have a very exciting announcement. The 2020 Homegrown Generation Family Expo is coming. From February 17th through the 21st, the Schoolhouse Rocked team is gathering your favorite speakers in one place and hosting a one-of-a-kind live and interactive online event called the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. This will be a full week of encouragement, resources, and community, as we'll be addressing the most important issues that homeschool families face. You'll have the opportunity to interact live with our phenomenal lineup of speakers, receive a swag bag full of excellent and helpful resources, and have a chance to win valuable prizes. We already have some great speakers lined up, including Kurt Cameron, Sam Sorbo, Andrew Pudua, Heidi St. John, Israel Wayne, Ginger Hubbard, Todd Wilson, Lee Bortons, Rachel Carmen, Dorinda Wilson, Connie Albers, Karen DeBuse, Linda Hobart, and many others. The price for this live online event is only $20, which also gives you lifetime access so that you can enjoy it whenever you want. However, if you register prior to December 31st, you'll pay the early bird price of only $15. Register today at homegrowngeneration.com. That's homegrowngeneration.com. Enjoy this encore episode with my good friend, Karen DeBuse, who we are also honored to have as one of our fabulous speakers for the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am so excited and have really been looking forward to this episode that we're recording today. I am with Karen DeBuse, and I'm going to let her introduce herself and her family to you, but several weeks ago, I read an article that she wrote about just kind of getting real with life. And it really got me thinking, and it's one of the things that I think we all struggle with, is just being real. We, especially in our day and age of social media and all the things that surround us. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So stick around. I really think that this is going to be a freeing and encouraging podcast for you to listen to. So anyway, but let me introduce first to you, Karen DeBuse. Karen, welcome to the podcast. I'm really, really excited to have you on today.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. This is really fun.
Yeah. Tell us about you and your family and what you do.
Well, I'm Karen DeBuse, and I live out here on a little hobby farm in a little town in New Jersey called Hope, New Jersey. And we have four children, and we've been homeschooling since my oldest started kindergarten, and she's actually a few months away from graduating now.
Wow.
So we're in that bittersweet time period. So we've been homeschooling since this is our 13th year. And then my other children, so she's going to be 18. And then we have an almost 16-year-old, an almost 14-year-old. All their birthdays are coming up. And then a 10-year-old. We also have chickens and goats and all kinds of fun stuff. And we moved out here really to just give our kids the simple, you know, the simple life. And, I love to talk about, I have my blog, Simply Living for Him, and I love to talk about just getting rid of distractions in mm-hmm. our lives, whether it's in our homeschool or just in our life, and eliminating clutter. But it's really about more than just eliminating clutter and distractions. The purpose is so that we can focus on Jesus, the things mm-hmm. that matter most. And so that's what I do.
I love it. I love it. I know you are a popular speaker at homeschool conventions. I was at Teach Them Diligently in Nashville last year, and you were speaking, and I walked by the room where you were speaking, and literally there were people flowing out of the room. There were people sitting down the aisle. There were people standing in the back, and then all those who were standing outside of the room who couldn't fit in, they Aww. You know, kind of were leaning in, just trying to hear your message. And so God is using you in such a big way to speak a message.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
I never expected to do any of this, but like, you know, when you just know this is what you're called to do.
Yeah.
I love encouraging homeschooling families because I'm right there in it. Like I always say, I'm not an expert. I'm with you guys. We're doing this together. And so I think that's what, you know, people enjoy, just the fact that it's relatable. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm right there in the middle of it. I'm not up there like I'm an expert. And what I always say, and I'll say it on here too, is don't listen to me. Like I like to tell mm-hmm. you my funny stories or things that encourage you or what I'm learning, but ultimately listen to God. Mm-hmm. And my thing when I speak is like, I don't even care if you remember my name when you leave. I want mm-hmm. you to leave and say, that lady pointed me to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's for me what it's all about. Like getting people to focus on him. And, you know, like I say, with keeping it real in homeschool or keeping it simple in homeschool, it's because I want people to remember what on earth we're doing this for. And we're doing this for God, to honor him, to give him glory.
Right.
And so, you know, when people come to hear me speak, I'm like, if you remember my name, great. And most of you won't because it's hard to pronounce, which I give you credit because you said it right. But, you know, it's really about just pointing people to Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. Well, he is using you in a big way, sister. And I am so glad about that. Tell us your homeschool journey, how you began this whole journey of homeschooling your kids.
Okay. I have an interesting story because I always say I was an accidental homeschooler, mm-hmm. which is then led me into accidental blogging, which led me into accidental writing books, which led me into accidental speaking and ministry. But it's all part of God's plan. And yeah. It's really cool. So we began homeschooling. Like I said, we're getting on our last year here for my oldest. And when she turned 5, she had gone to the little preschool at our church. And, you know, the next natural thing to do was put her in kindergarten, which is right around the corner from our house at the time. We weren't living here in the country. And, I went to register her for kindergarten and I walked in with all my papers like a good mom. And I stood on that line and I looked around and I had a panic attack. I was like, she is not going here. I don't want her in this school. And it was confusing because I didn't ever intend for her not to go to school, but I had this huge feeling of just like doom, like she is not to go here. And looking back on it, I realized that that was the beginning of God calling me to something. But at the time I was confused. I didn't know where this was coming from. A lot of friends told me it's the first time jitters. You'll get over it. You know, next year when she's in school, you're going to have so much time to yourself. You're going to love it. Which I don't know what they were talking about because I had 3 more kids behind her. But I knew it wasn't just like those jitters. Mm-hmm. I knew there was like this thing I couldn't explain. But I have to tell you, I didn't really know anything about homeschooling. So it wasn't like I thought, well, she's not going to go here. We're going to homeschool. It was like, she's not going to go here. What on earth, though, is the option? Mm-hmm. And I knew putting her in private school wasn't an option because that to us, we couldn't afford it. And, you know, a couple people mentioned homeschooling to me and I was like, no, that's for the Duggars. I don't know anything about that. Like I really was ignorant. I didn't know much about homeschooling, but it kept popping up. Like I would open a magazine and there'd be an article on homeschooling or I'd see somebody and they would mention homeschooling. And finally I talked to somebody at my church that was a homeschooling mom. And, she invited me to her house for lunch and her kids, they were older. They were like preteens, were serving us lunch and they were so kind. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. You know, she's got normal kids. And she was telling me about homeschooling and it seemed like such a great option. Mm. So the funniest thing is, I have to tell you, that mom and that little girl that served me lunch is now a mom, has moved out to where I live. And she just recently contacted me to share with her my homeschooling journey because she wants to homeschool her son.
Oh, wow.
Full circle. I'm like, talk to your mom because she's the one who talked to me. She's like, yeah, but she's been out of it for a while.
Oh,
you're the expert.
Wow.
I'm like, I'm the expert. I went to your mom. Like, it's crazy how God works. But anyway, that's a little aside.
That's awesome.
God is amazing how he weaves details together. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the long story short, because this can go on. She talked to me about homeschooling and we decided, my husband and I, like, we'll try this. You know, this, I really felt like every time I went to the Bible that summer that God was just pointing me to do this, showing me verses and scripture. However, my mom had always worked in public school. And at the time she was still working in public school and she was pro public school. And so I have a close relationship with her and I was nervous to tell her about our decision, but I thought, I was also reading in the Bible, you must follow God and not man. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, but God, I get it, but these are my parents, you know, like I don't want to disappoint them and I know they're going to be disappointed. But I felt like God was saying, you just need to do this. Mm-hmm. Now, I had no idea the journey ahead of us, that homeschooling would change our family in so many ways. I really thought, I'll do this for 1 year, right, get it out of my system, say I answered God's call for 1 year and move on, right? And so I told my mom and my parents, and as bad as I thought it would be, it was 100 times worse. Mm. They were so upset. They were to the point where they were like, you will not do this. You will ruin our grandchildren. Mm. Like, you will not. And I was like, well, we're going to. And I said, we're just going to do it for 1 year. And then every year, you know, here we came doing it over and over and over. But the beautiful thing is that it took 10 years, but my parents actually now 100% support homeschooling, are huge advocates of homeschooling, and think that there's no other way, you know, for our family but to homeschool.
Right.
So God has really shown us and grown us so much on this journey. And it's really about tiny this much have to do with academics. It's been about growing our family spiritually, growing us closer to Him. It's birthed a whole ministry for me that I never expected. So it's just been amazing. I couldn't imagine if I didn't step out in faith that first year and say yes. And, you know, I have journals I kept that first summer, and I was writing in it. I have the journal still. It says, God, why are you making me do this? I don't want to do this, but I will do it because you said so.
Sure.
And I look at those words and I'm like, wow, like if I only knew the plans He had for us, it's amazing. So you have to take that step in faith. And that's what we did.
That is awesome. And I love that your parents came around, and even that it took that long, because what an encouragement to so many who are listening, because that is a real struggle. I mean, we see it on social media all the time. We talk to people, and it's a real struggle that, you know, grandma and grandpa are saying no. And in their defense, it's because they simply don't understand homeschooling.
Which, and my mom said that. She absolutely said, what happened was, it was the first year I spoke at a national convention, they came with me. They were like, we want to come and hear this. And at this point, they hadn't yet said, and I was like, you're going to hear some things, you know, that I say that you may not agree with.
Right.
And they were like, that's right. We want to see what you do. And so I read from that journal, actually, during that talk. I was reading about how I said, I don't want to do this. Why are you making me do this? And as I'm reading it, I look up and my parents are sitting in the audience.
Wow.
They're crying.
Wow.
I start crying. It was like nobody else is in that audience, you know. It was like God was showing me, look what I've done.
Wow.
So we walked out into the hallway afterwards. And that was when my mom said to me, there is nothing else you should be doing.
Mm.
And she said, I regret that it took me this long to understand. She goes, but honestly, I was ignorant. I didn't understand. I was working in public school and being surrounded by, you know, all the talk about how homeschooling was bad.
Right.
And she said, I just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, don't regret it, because that's the story that God gave us. And we wouldn't have this sweet moment that we do now because it was made that much sweeter because we had gone through a struggle.
Right.
So,
wow.
You know, people often say to me, that's encouraging. And I'm like, but it still doesn't mean your family, somebody else's family will change.
Sure.
But there is hope, because quite honestly, I would have just been happy if they said, we accept it, and never really said anything else. They didn't just accept it. She now like tells everyone she can about it. It's amazing. So they are my biggest cheerleaders.
That's awesome.
So
and even if, you know, those listening, even if their parents or the naysayers in their lives don't change their opinion, just the simple fact that you're following God's call on your life
Absolutely.
To do that will bring so many blessings, because obedience brings blessings, and He will bless your family for your obedience in doing that. And I love that. That is so much part of why we are producing Schoolhouse Rocked, the movie, because we want to debunk all of those misconceptions and negative stereotypes of what homeschooling is. And we want to give parents who are feeling, you know, like the Lord is calling them to homeschooling, we want to give them a tool to be able to hand to grandma and grandpa or their next door neighbor or whoever and say, just watch this film and you'll understand
absolutely.
Why we want to homeschool. Or maybe the husband who's reluctant, hand him the movie and say, just watch this and you'll understand why. And so, so anyway, yeah, it's great. I love that. So you wrote a book called Real Homeschool, Letting Go of the Pinterest Perfect and Instagram Ideal Homeschool. Tell me about this, because, you know, as I said in the beginning, it's something that we all struggle with, especially with social media today. You know, we go on all of the blogs, we go on Pinterest, we go on all of these different forums and Twitter and Instagram, and we see what everyone else's homeschool supposedly looks like, but we don't see the day in and the day out. and the struggles and the reality of what everyday life looks like. And you and I, we get to talk to a lot of homeschool moms, and it's such a blessing. And you and I realize that that is so completely unrealistic. Mm-hmm. No one's family looks perfect. No one's day goes smoothly every day, but it seems that way mm-hmm. to everyone else.
Right.
Talk to us about the book, why you wrote it, and what the whole premise of the book is.
Sure. I wrote the book. I had really seen actually what social media and just the abundance of stuff out there, which I believe we're very blessed as homeschoolers mm-hmm. to have so much available to us. But I saw for me what it did in those first few years, because when I started homeschooling, like I said, I had no idea about it. There wasn't Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest. There maybe were like little forums, like you said, where mm-hmm. you could go on and ask questions. I look back that first year that I began to homeschool, and the woman who sort of mentored me and told me about homeschooling, she gave me her kindergartner's curriculum and said, you could use this for your kindergarten. I was like, okay, great. And took it home. And I was like, we're ready to homeschool. And then I met somebody that was homeschooling, and she said, what curriculum are you using? And I told her, and she said, oh, that's what you're using. You didn't check out anything else. I was like, I don't know there was anything else. Like, to have that childlike faith now, mm-hmm. I look back and I'm almost like envious of that childlike faith, because I knew that God was calling me to do something. Mm-hmm. So I went and did it. And it's not that we shouldn't be prepared and research, but my heart was just so, turned towards the Lord. Like, this is what he wants us to do. Sure, everybody's against us, but we're going to do it. And so once I got that seed planted, oh, there's a CBD catalog out there, and there's curriculum review websites. And then the first few years I was really floundering, because then social media did enter the picture mm-hmm. and I started to see everybody's homeschool room.
Oh,
we need to have that. We don't have that.
And I would have a desk.
I would spend so much more time uh-huh. on the externals
yes.
and making everything look just so. And I think especially because I was insecure about my choice in the early years, I thought my home needed to look like when people came in that we're real good homeschoolers. We have all the mm-hmm. books. Sure, no one's reading them. We have all the posters up. We have all the little things around, just because I wanted that illusion that we were good homeschoolers, And so those first few years were a real growth time for me, because I had to realize, no, wait, this is not why I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there was a year early on where my husband lost his job. And it was such a blessing, because looking back, because I didn't have any extra money to go buy curriculum and to go buy cute little bins at Pottery Barn to make our homeschool room pretty. It was just, the focus was on the homeschool. Mm-hmm. And it like stripped everything down for me and made me realize, like, I'm not homeschooling to keep up with social media or other homeschoolers. I'm homeschooling because God called me to homeschool. And so I see this all the time, that people are so wrapped up in all the externals that they're forgetting their purpose in this. And the mm-hmm. other thing is, every family has a different purpose. God is calling everybody to homeschool to glorify him and to use your homeschool to raise up your children knowing him. But how he does that in everybody's family is always different. Mm-hmm. The circumstances he put me in were different. Like, you're making a homeschool documentary. Not everybody has to go and do that. What I mean? Everybody's ministry is different. Everybody's vocation, everybody's curriculum is different. Mm-hmm. Everybody's homeschool room looks different. If we're focusing on following God, and we're doing Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom mm-hmm. and his righteousness. Let everything else flow from there. And so in the book, I encourage people to not keep up with the Joneses, but to keep up with God, to live for his standards. What does God's word say about how you should be mm-hmm. living? Not what does Instagram, homeschool accounts tell you how you should be living, because you're just going to end up chasing after the things of this world and not chasing after him.
Yeah, love it. We're going to take a quick break to listen to one of our sponsors, and then we'll be right back, and I want to continue talking about this.
Okay.
I want to tell you about a fantastic resource to help you homeschool your kids, homeschoolhelp.com. Homeworks by Precept has over 200 homeschool consultants in North America to help make your child's homeschool experience a success. Homeworks by Precept is a partner with BJU Press Homeschool and shares their values of biblical worldview, academic excellence, and critical thinking. And as homeschooling parents themselves, their consultants draw from their own personal homeschool experience and their knowledge of the BJU Press homeschool curriculum to offer solutions that help you to prepare lessons, become more efficient in homeschooling, and meet your child's unique learning needs. Homeworks consultants offer year-round support, expert advice, and they offer year-round savings on BJU Press curriculum. To connect with a Homeworks consultant, visit homeschoolhelp.com. That's homeschoolhelp.com. This episode of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast is brought to you by Libromania, a podcast for book lovers from the Close Reads Podcast Network and the Searcy Institute. Through conversations with contemporary novelists, poets, and biographers, as well as collectors, designers, and others, Libromania is for the person who believes that good books are an essential part of the good life. For more information, go to closereadspods.com or subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you dial up your favorite podcasts. You're talking about having that Pinterest perfect school room and that just the ideal of what we think homeschooling should look like. And when we think about homeschooling, and this is so much of why I think people quit homeschooling and why they struggle in homeschooling, is because we think that homeschooling is supposed to look a certain way. And the image that most of us have, and this will change, I think, over the years, and I think it is changing, but the image that most of us have is when we say, okay, we're going to homeschool our kids, we think it's literally bringing the classroom as we knew it growing up right. into our home. And so, I mean, I remember looking for desks. Like I needed to have a school desk, obviously, because I was going to homeschool my kids. And we had the Pinterest perfect schoolroom. It was beautiful. And I had all the posters up on the walls, and I had their little reading nooks in the corners, and I had the massive bookcase with all of the stuff. And like you said, I took so much time to make it all look pretty, and it took so much time away from what I really needed to focus on.
Absolutely.
And I it's really hard for moms to switch their brain over to the idea that we're not taking what the schoolroom looks like. As a matter of fact, I remember when Brooklyn, my oldest, was, I think it was her kindergarten year. I'm pretty sure it was, maybe first grade. And I had a friend who had been an elementary school teacher for many years in the local public school. And I actually said, can I come and sit in one day and just observe you, because I want to know how to do this the right way, because I thought I was doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. And I never actually ended up going, but I remember just thinking that would be the most perfect thing. I can just go watch her, look at her room, and mimic everything that she's doing and bring it home and do that. And that's not at all what homeschooling is. That is the complete opposite of what homeschooling is. But because so many moms have the idea of that's what it's supposed to look like, they feel like they're failing.
Right.
And then they see Pinterest and they see Facebook and they see Instagram and they continue to think I'm doing it wrong. And we're not willing to be real with one another and just say, no, this is real life. This is really what my life actually looks like day to day.
Right.
So how can you encourage moms to be real and just say, this is how God created our family. This is what he made us to look like. And this is how we're going about life.
I would encourage everyone to find one or two moms, homeschooling moms, that you can get together with for prayer. I did that several years ago around the time right before I wrote this book. We got together every week. We called it like a pray and play day. The kids would play in the park and we would sit in the little gazebo and pray for our homeschools and for our families.
Love that.
And that was the day that I knew I could get together and just like spill my guts, you know? Mm-hmm. There were two women that did not care if I told them all the awful things that were going on. You know, I knew that we were going to lift each other up. And I feel like as women or as homeschooling moms, we're afraid sometimes to do that. Mm-hmm. We're afraid of what other people are going to think. And it causes a downward spiral, because then we think we're not good enough. And like, you know, we're looking at social media, which is this one dimensional picture. It's mm-hmm. a glimpse of someone's day. And I think we have to realize that as we're scrolling through. I mean, it's always a conundrum for me because I do a lot of ministry online, you know? Mm-hmm. So here I am online trying to tell people to get offline and be real in real life, you know? But it's a great way for me to reach people. But I also try to balance that with going on Instagram stories in the morning when I'm letting the chickens out in my pajamas and everything else and saying, this is what it looks like normally, you know? Mm-hmm. So giving people glimpses of real life, but I also caution that we don't get stuck in that, like, I'm just going to keep it real and tell everybody all about my messes and show my messy house all the time and call them. It becomes like a complain fest, you know? We want to, I want to say the verse in Romans where it says, rejoice when others rejoice and cry when others cry. Mm-hmm. Like we want to be there to lift our friends up when they need it and to, you know, sit with them and cry when they're having a hard time. And then when they're rejoicing and having those good times, we want to be there with them rejoicing. I think that's another issue for us as homeschoolers. We kind of internalize, no one talks about this, but I do. We kind of internalize on ourselves what someone else is doing. Mm-hmm. So you're having a really bad week and then your friend's children are winning the spelling bee and the Bible bee and they're in every sport and getting every trophy. And inside you're kind of like, I just wish they wouldn't succeed. You get like annoyed when their child succeeds. Mm-hmm. That is not godly behavior. That is not how God wants us to think. And so we should be rejoicing when others rejoice. I always say what someone else's child does or doesn't do is not a reflection of what your child does or does not do.
Right.
Right. We need to have these good relationships where we truly do rejoice in others' successes and truly do cry when others cry. Mm-hmm. And so like that prayer time for me was very important because we really were able to be able to share in the good things and not feel like you're boasting, because then you're always worried, oh, I don't want to post this on Facebook because everyone will think I'm boasting, you know. But when you really know the heart behind it and you know the person behind it, you understand they're just sharing in their success. And then, you know, those friends that also, when I would pray with them, I'd say, I want to quit homeschooling. I don't even want to get out of bed some mornings. Mm-hmm. And when you actually share that with somebody and you get it out in the open, it brings light into that dark place. Mm-hmm. I've been in very dark places and you just don't want to tell anybody.
Yeah.
And then when you do, it's like Satan's out of there all of a sudden because you just brought it out. You said, look, I'm struggling.
Right.
I didn't want to get out of bed this morning. And then there's such a connection. We need those real life connections.
Yeah.
Not just texting each other, not just emailing each other, not just, yeah, I'll pray for you. No, sitting and holding hands and looking at each other and praying for each other.
Yeah.
Real life connections so that we can build these good, God-honoring friendships that are the way God intended us to live. Not fake, not pretending, you know, and just really being real.
Yeah, there's so much freedom in that too. And just realizing that people, your real friends are still going to love you, maybe even more so when you're real with them. Because, you know, you look at your friends that are around you and other homeschool moms, and not that you don't want to be friends with those who seem to have it all together, but it makes us feel so inadequate. And like you said, I mean, you don't want it to become a complaint fest and be like, oh, woe is me. You have to find that balance. But it's so freeing to be able to be real with people and just say, this is me. This is just the, you know, mess that I am today. Give me advice. Pray with me. Just listen to me. Whatever it is that you need for that day, and then be able to do that for your friends in return, because
absolutely.
We need each other. It's the body of Christ, and it's how the body of Christ works together, is we need each other, especially as homeschool moms who face so much opposition. And even if there's not opposition from your parents or from your husband, there's just opposition from culture and what we're doing. And so we need that. We need to be that for one another. And I know that not everyone has that. So how would you suggest, you know, say maybe there's a mom who's just struggling. Maybe she's moved to a new area and she doesn't know very many people where she is. And she's just trying to get out there and she's just trying to make connections with people who she can be real with. Do you have any suggestions for that mom?
I would say just pray. just pray that God would bring somebody into your life. Just, you know, whether it's somebody maybe you'll find at church, it might be in the most unexpected places. I know I found really deep relationships with the women that are much older than me mm-hmm. in church, that sometimes you're not even looking for that. And then you have that beautiful relationship where you're being mentored, or, you know, or maybe you become friends with that much younger mom. You know, now I'm becoming the older mom.
Yeah,
you become
right.
friends with that much younger mom. You know, yeah. it might not always look like it has to be somebody in the same exact mm-hmm. situation. You. I've had my best relationships and people that have been able to lift me up when I can't, you know, mm-hmm. I can't even pray because I'm just so, I'm having so much struggle. I've had those friends that come in, they're not necessarily even in the same stage of life as mm-hmm. me, or maybe they're not even a homeschooling mom, you know, but they're just, they love the Lord and, mm-hmm. you know, they want to be there for you. So, you know, it might happen in an unexpected place, but yeah. I would say just pray mm-hmm. and just praying for the Lord to bring someone into your life that you can really be transparent with. And I know that's kind of like a buzzword, but it's yeah. so important. You know, like I said, just recently, I looked at two friends of mine and I almost didn't say it, but I looked them right in the eye and I was like, I was really struggling and I could not get out of bed recently. Mm-hmm. I was in that bad of a place. And the look in their eyes back, number one, was like, we wouldn't expect you to say that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that makes me feel like, well, then what kind of person am I portraying? You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to be perceived as I have it all together because I don't. I struggle too. And then the look of just pure love that let's pray right now. Let's pray for mm-hmm. you right now. And, you know, all that yucky stuff goes away of comparison and envy and drama. There is no room for that in sisters in Christ. Mm-hmm. I always say, you know, in the world, you have drama and gossip and envy and comparison. That is not God honoring. And sisters in Christ do not live that way. And we should not tolerate it, you know. So when you get that kind of relationship with somebody that you can really be real, mm-hmm. it honors the Lord. That's yeah. the way He wants us to live.
Yeah. And I love it. It's prayer is so important. I remember years ago when it may have been when my oldest was, we were starting homeschool, and my youngest was, they're almost 5 years apart. And she was a really, really, really high maintenance, hard toddler, very strong willed. I didn't understand what strong willed was until she came along. It was mm-hmm. your second born.
Third.
Okay.
second born boy. So maybe that's
okay. Maybe. Yeah. I'm grateful we're out of that stage for the most part, but, it was rough. Anyway, I had this group of mom friends and we were tight. We would go to the park together. We had mom's nights. We just encouraged one another and we loved each other. We loved each other's families. And then it all kind of fell apart. Because two of them moved out of state. One of them went back to work and put her kids in school. And then another one, her husband started full-time ministry. And we were still friends, but our kind of weekly being able to gather together and pray with each other. And, you know, we even did a Bible study together with our kids running around at our feet. It was gone. And it was devastating to me. And I remember feeling so lonely. And I'm a super extrovert. So I need to have people. I need to have, you know, mama friends around me and people to talk to. And so for a long time, I mean, over a year, I felt very, very alone. And I remember just talking to my mom one day and I was just crying. I was like, I feel like I have all these acquaintances, but no friends. And so we prayed about it. And I just prayed and I just said, Lord, there are other people out there who are feeling the same way that I'm feeling. And mm-hmm. they need friends. Mm-hmm. Bring me to those people. And that's exactly what he did. That's and awesome. There were people at our church who I kind of knew sort of just in passing, but had never really gotten to know them. But I knew that they were homeschool moms. And I just said, hey, I'm going to start a co-op this year. Want to come? And there were, I think, five of us or six of us that first year. And every one of them said, I was so lonely and I was so desperately in need of friends. And the Lord just brought us together. But it was a long, hard journey in the middle of that time where, you know, my first group of friends who I'm still friends with, but we couldn't do life together anymore between that time and the time where the Lord just brought together this new group of friends. And it's a beautiful thing. And God hears our prayers. He hears us. He sees us. He knows what our needs are. And he will bring that. But sometimes it has to be us reaching out to other people and saying, yes, come join me. You know, right, let's go to the park together, even if you don't know that person.
Right. Get to know other people.
Yeah.
I was talking about it actually this morning on my Instagram. We like make this sort of whole perception of who somebody is sometimes. Mm-hmm. We have like this scenario in our head of like who they are.
Right.
And then when you get to know them, you're like, oh, they're not even what I thought, you know? And I feel like we need to break that barrier. And, yes, and it takes us sometimes getting to know somebody, mm-hmm, on a deeper level and building those really good foundations.
Yes.
And, you know, starting, like I had started a prayer group at my house at one time and just invited women, just whoever wants to come, just anybody can come. And, you know, the connections that were made through that were, mm-hmm, amazing. I got to know so many people that were like acquaintances or Facebook, yeah, friends, you know,
right,
just better because, mm-hmm, we started that connection of prayer. And like you said, sometimes there'll be that long span where there isn't, mm-hmm, anybody and you're feeling alone, but thankfully you have God the, mm-hmm, whole time. You're never alone. And he's going to use that season maybe, yeah, because he wants to teach you just, yeah, you and him, you know,
yep,
and then you'll be ready for those relationships.
Yep. Yep. He is enough always.
Yeah.
We are out of time for the podcast. We are going to continue on. For those of you who have been kind of tracking with us with the podcast, we have what's called the Backstage Pass membership site. And it's only, I think it's $4.99 a month. So it's super cheap. We have so much good content on there. And one of the things that we're doing now is we're continuing our conversation with many of our guests who we're doing the podcast with. And we're doing an additional kind of bonus section the last 30 minutes discussing sometimes different questions and or furthering the discussion that we're already having. So we're going to stay on with you for another 30 minutes. So those who are Backstage Pass members, you will get to see that last 30 minutes because we're going to talk about something really exciting. Karen, years ago, you talked about how you went through a phase where you didn't have a whole lot of money for a curriculum. And so you did, yep, something that I have thought a whole lot about. And I've known other people have done it. You used nothing but God's word.
And yeah, we used the Bible as our main textbook for 1 year.
I love that. So we're going to go on and talk about that. You can see that on the Backstage Pass membership site. If you're a member, if you're not, you can sign up to be a member. I want to ask you one more thing, though, as we close, yep, out the podcast. Just give one word of encouragement, and I would love for you to encourage the mom who's maybe thinking about, because you were in this place before, who's thinking about homeschooling, and she's scared to death. She doesn't know. It's now in the new year. She's thinking about what she's going to do for her child for next year, and mm-hmm, she's just like, nope, I can't do this homeschooling thing. I'm not smart enough. I'm not educated, yeah, enough. I have naysayers in my life. I don't have time. I have too many kids. Whatever the reason is, can you encourage that mom?
Absolutely. Because I say the exact thing that when I look back, and actually my mom would tell me, you're not disciplined enough. You're not organized enough. And you didn't like school. And, you know, even in my own head, I was like, nobody's on board. And you know what? All those things were true. I wasn't, mm-hmm, smart enough, disciplined enough, organized enough, but God will equip you.
Mm-hmm.
God has equipped me beyond what I ever dreamed, you know? So even if you feel that you are so inadequate, that may be the very thing that God is going to show up and show you that he is adequate. He, mm-hmm, will supply. If God calls you to homeschool, you have no doubt, no fear at, mm-hmm, all. He will equip you. If I can do this, yep, I say anyone can do this, you know?
Yep.
And if you feel that nudging, you know, because a lot of people ask me, well, how do you know it was a calling? And how do you know you're called? The only way is to really be close with God, mm-hmm, in his word, talking to him. Like, he's not going to just shoot down like a thing that says, go home school, you know?
He might.
He's going to use very, mm-hmm, different, you know, he's going to use different things for different people, maybe for confirmation. Like, mm-hmm, I said, it was chasing me down that year.
Yeah.
But in order to hear his voice, you have to know him. You have to be in his word. You have to be praying. You have to be talking to him and listening. And so if you get that nudging and you start to feel like this is a calling, there is no fear. He will absolutely 100% equip you. And you only want to be where God wants you to be. So you don't want to ever do anything that, you know, isn't exactly where he's calling you. And as long as you're following him, you have no fear. So that's what I would say.
That's right. Well, thank you so much for your time today. You are such an encouragement to me and so many others, and I am loving talking with you. So thank you guys for listening to the podcast today. Have a great week, and we will be back with you next week.